Welcome to the New Process Podcast. Learn all the tools, methods, and best practices combined with people, emotions, and a human-centric mindset to rethink your process and push it to the next level. And here is your host, Mirko Kloppenberg.
Yeah, welcome to episode 31 of the New Process Podcast. Today, it's all about how to improve your process modeling to get people excited. Therefore, I'm talking with Kevin Tan. If you are interested in process modeling, you definitely have to follow Kevin Tan on LinkedIn. And now he's pushing his BPM journey even further with Processability. He calls it the Tao of business process modeling. And today we are going to find out what that really is. Kevin started his career as an analyst, programmer, and business analyst and evolved over 25 and more years into a senior business process analyst and thought leader in process modeling. Today, he's working for Greater Western Water in Australia. Before this, he worked for a number of companies in industries such as insurance, supply chain, utilities, technology, education, and telecommunications in Singapore, Taiwan, Thailand, Malaysia, and in the UK. So today, you'll learn how to get people excited by improving your process modeling with Processability. You'll learn what the core elements of Processability are and how to apply Processability to your own process models. So enjoy the interview with Kevin Tan.
And now, let's start to rethink processes.
Yeah, welcome to the New Process Podcast, Kevin. I'm super curious to learn more about Processability and what that really is. So welcome, Kevin.
Thank you. Thank you, Mirko, for inviting me to your podcast. I've been watching you for more than a year now.
Oh, cool. Yes. That's great. I'm also following you for more than a year on LinkedIn. And I always liked your posts on how to map processes. And now you came up with Processability, what we want to talk about today. But before we dive into the content, let's start with a brief check-in. What do you prefer in an aircraft, aisle or window seat?
Window, 100%.
Okay, why?
Why is because when I take airplane, I can actually stay there for 8 hours. I don't have to go to the toilet. So I do
okay,
not want.
Really?
So if I sit on the window seat, I'm not going to disturb others. And
okay,
I prefer not to be being disturbed. So I just need to sleep through the flight. That's why window seat for me.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. That's interesting. And what is your favorite airport?
My favorite airport is Singapore Changi Airport.
Okay. I've never been there, but I know several of my guests already mentioned that is their favorite airport. And I think I have to go there as well. So
yes. Cool. It's like a mega shopping center. Doesn't look like an airport. It's like a mega mall.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Maybe I go there without my wife. But we were talking about flying into that direction next year in summer. So we'll see. That's cool. Okay. And what was the best process you've ever experienced?
I think I couldn't recall any best process. I always, as from the consumer, when I experience something, I always think that there's something not right. What if they have do something different here and there? They're always not joined together. Yeah, from the customer perspective. Yes, I never get the best process. No.
Okay, that's interesting. So let's continue with the follow-up question there. How would you describe your relationship to processes then? I'm super curious how you describe that.
I would say my relationship with process, or maybe I should say with process modeling, not process. It started when I was a programmer. My first job when I was 18 years old, I think. Yeah, 18 years old, I worked as a programmer. That is how I first have the relationship with a process model, because I'm writing some program. I need to explain to my colleague, hey, is this how we're doing it? Rather than writing in the pseudocode, I start writing like a flowchart diagram to explain the idea or the problem. So that is the first time I have a relationship with my process modeling. After which I become a system analyst, a business analyst, IT consultant, how do you call it, 15 years back in Singapore. So I realized process modeling is always one of the tools that I need to use to communicate with my stakeholder, with the programmer, with the business person, with the another business analyst, or with anyone. I realized using the modeling is the easiest way to communicate.
Yeah, that's true. That's super cool. I already introduced, I mentioned processability in the introduction, and I'd love to learn more. So what is processability all about?
Processability is, maybe we should start with what is not processability.
Okay.
Okay. Processability is not about a particular notation or BPMN or UPN or flowchart. It's not about that. Processability is about some very basic common sense technique that we can apply to any process modeling notation.
Any. Okay.
Yes. So the three key concepts is storytelling. So what it means is that the process model must able to tell the story so the relevant stakeholder can understand it. So the storytelling, not just for a business analyst, can be for a CEO, to the operation manager, or even to the guy who performed that process. So we must tell the story so that everyone can understand, be it a technical stakeholder or a business stakeholder or someone who just do not know what you guys is doing. So had to do that. So it's storytelling. Number two is visual balance. Visual balance is crucial for any process modeling notation because modeling is visual, right? That's why you call it model. If not, we will just describe in word in English or in a song, but it's a visual. So visual balance in simple word is that we must visually present the thing so that people can just read it effortlessly. So that means it's like a reading without reading, just like an air you breathe in. You don't even realize the air. So then you can focus on doing your real job rather than focusing on trying to breathe in, breathe out, like swimming underwater. You try to. So a good visual balance, that means you help the reader to focus on the real problem rather than try to understand the model. So that is visual balance. The third one is called simplicity. Simplicity means is that is I have realized a lot of notation out there. People have used it. They try to explain the thing like using three steps to explain one step. Or just like, just make the thing too complicated. So simplicity is but try to, based on whatever notation you use, you have to use the most simple way to represent the business process. But having said that, when we make a business process model simple, doesn't mean that we make it simpler than the actual process. No. A process, if it's complex, we will represent it as a complex process. But simplicity means make it easy to understand a complex process.
Okay. Yeah?
Like Mirko, you are handsome, right? So if I take a photo of you, it's like modeling. So people look at it, yep, it's exactly like Mirko is very handsome. Look at the eye, he gets the eye, right idea. It's not to, in order to make it simple, I make you look different. Make it so simple, this is not the real story. You need to tell the truth in a simple way.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's super fascinating. We have to deep dive into all these three fundamental principles of processability. And I already had an interview about story listening in the past, which was super interesting. I haven't heard about that. I heard about storytelling. I have an idea, but what is your definition of storytelling and how does this contribute to processability? Can you give an example there?
I would say, okay, storytelling is that when what I see is that when it comes to process modeling, many modelers make the mistake, try to tell so many things on one page. So storytelling is more about telling one story at a time. So every story, just like a Hollywood movie, you have a start and middle, what has happened and what is the end and what is the outcome. So we can apply the same concept in process modeling, storytelling. That's it. Start, middle, end, what is the outcome? And all the story is one chapter, then you can form the story to become a book. It's, now you get the end-to-end story.
Yeah. Okay.
This is about storytelling.
I'm just thinking. Yeah, okay. I'm just thinking about a modeling workshop I had a few days ago where we, in the end, mapped a goods receiving process. It's a super cool story. So from the receiving of the goods, checking it and booking it into the system and so on. But I think this process even able to tell more than one story, because there could be different use cases going through that process. Could be incoming goods from a supplier or from another location of the company. And then you have to process the incoming goods somehow in a slightly different way. But that would be still possible to have different types of use cases in one story, in one process model from your perspective?
Yes.
To have a standardized process there?
Yes, because still it's a one story, just a story with some variation.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So you still receive the good, but the good maybe is from different dangerous good, or maybe it's a special good need to do handling, but you still need to have that story that, hey, this is, we received good. So other is more like a side story, like a variation.
Yeah.
Yeah, in detail, it really depends on what you want to achieve of your workshop, because sometimes you want to focus on the side story because that is where the problem is.
Yeah.
Or maybe sometimes it's not a side story. You just want to have the main story because we are at a stage just to understand the thing without going to any variation.
Yeah. Okay. And how would you map this kind of a side story in the overall story? Is there then something like a written detailed description of an activity to point out how to handle dangerous goods? Or how would you do that?
Oh, it depends. It depends. Let's say, for example, handler of the dangerous good is just one of the small variation.
Yeah.
But we know that this is a big problem because 6 months ago, someone was injured, you know, no, this is big attention. So in fact, okay, I will need to amplify that. So I will actually map that hand. Dangerous good is a story by itself, it's like a sub story in the big story. So everyone can visually see what is the component that causing the problem. It really depends on what you want to achieve. Is that there's no?
Yeah.
I always model it differently, study different based on what the people want out there.
Yeah, okay, what to tell.
What to tell.
Okay, cool. Yes, so and then the next one was visual balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I was training process modelers in the past, I would say the part I loved the most was talking about aesthetic minimum requirements.
Yeah.
And one of these requirements was if you have a process model which fills the screen, and always try to center the content. So not put it into the upper left corner and there you have a number of activities and that's it. The other page is then blank. Put it into the middle. Is that something like visual balance, or how would you explain visual balance in detail when mapping processes?
I would say visual balance is more, in this case, like say, for example, a simple rule from left to right.
Yeah,
it's called visual balance. So we start, because when we read, we usually read from left to right. So when we model, must be left to right rather than left to right, then come back to the forward and turn a circle or up down. Yeah. Yeah. So it's always left to right. There's a reason for that. So easy for read. And also, I can mention a little bit of the when visual balance come to more advanced concept, you need to balance not just the visual, it's also the content.
Yeah.
The content that you're presenting will have some influence on how you want to visually present the model, the position of the line, the box, the start, every single thing, the text. This small little thing, some people may say, why you spend so much time on doing this? This doesn't give any value, but that is so important. All add up is going to make a big difference to the customer experience of the business stakeholder when they're in the workshop. It's going to make a big difference the way the energy, the way they interact with you, the way they can understand, the way they answer your question rather than they get confused. It's going to make a big difference. At the end, it means that you save you a lot of money, because the lesser mistake you make, they mean you will have, because the more mistake you make, they mean you have cost you more money in the future to fix the problem.
Yeah. So what would you say with regards to an example like having crossing connections? So if we have activities there and these arrows in between, and then unfortunately they are crossing and they are going over another, what would you say to me, Mirko?
Mirko,
say, how can I improve this?
No, I'm going to throw this guy a challenge. I have looked at all those crossing models. I would say 99% is avoidable. only 1% sometimes is, but I would say some models just become like a, they are not, I wouldn't say they are lazy, they just do not love their job enough. I mean, it's that they just have crossing everywhere. It's like, you just need to do some changes to the position or recut your story a little bit, then can be awarded 99% of the time.
Yeah, I agree. By switching swim lanes, for example, and so on, that's super easy. And in the end, for me, it's like a piece of an artwork or the art of process modeling to have a really good looking picture in the end.
Yes, correct. But I think what I want to add is that I want to let the audience know that when you heard someone as a modeler, wow, he go for visual balance, he treat this one as an artwork, that means that he's going to spend a lot of time on it. Okay, the answer is no. As a good process model, you have to spend not much time on it, but still looks great. That is a good model. If you spend 10 hours just to make it looks good, that means you defeat the purpose. You have to make it looks good just as normal. It's just good.
Yeah, on the fly.
On the fly, yes. Have to do it on the fly, yes.
Yeah, definitely. That's super cool. It would have been cool to get to know you 15 years ago when I was doing a lot of process model trainings. And great. That's super cool. So the third principle was simplicity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us a deep dive example on that?
So say if you're modeling using a notation, have a gateway, GATEWA, mm-hmm. like an exclusive gateway, yes, no, blue, green, black. So mm-hmm. you can see a lot of models actually they use, say, two gateway. If this do this, then do that. So in this case, rather than using two gateway, we can just use one gateway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by just spell out all the different output from the gateway. That's it. So this is one way for simplicity. So you're using one gateway rather than two gateway. This is called simplicity. Okay. Another example is, say, for example, in BPMN 2.0 notation, say when you want to model output document from a task, so you have like a dotted line, then you connect to like a folder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in some cases, actually, you can make the folder to indicate this folder is an output. There's a tiny arrow.
Okay.
You can do it this way. So to me, that is not simplicity because it's silly. It's very silly. Because the dotted line is show that it's an outcome from this process, why you need to tell people to make that icon is an outflow. So this is silly. You're just telling people they already know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Another one silly example of, in fact, is BPMN. I don't know whether this one should go out. People will kill me. But anyway, just say it. We'll see how. You know, in BPMN, you have a start event called a message start event, icon.
Yeah.
And usually you connect it to an external party. So there were, let's say, an order coming in or a complaint, order received, then with a dotted line will connect to the start event with mm-hmm. an envelope to show it's a message. So for me, in this particular scenario, it's silly. The reason is that when people read it, it's already a some message, dotted line is mean message, right? Coming from external party. Now, when you look at the start button, you put in a message. And when you try to describe it, it's an order received. It's like watching a movie when the hero coming here. This is the hero, and he wear, I should say, he's a hero, and he play the music. He's a hero. Yes, I already know he's a hero. It's obvious. Don't tell me three times. I want to cut this one. I want to what happened to this hero. What is he doing? Don't tell me this is a hero three times. It's just a noise to our brain.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, both are great examples of simplicity. That's good. Easy to understand. Okay. And what would you say if you're going to fight for possibility now? What are the benefits of applying that for the organizations?
I would say possibility is going to reduce your cost. It's going to save you a lot of money. And mm-hmm. more than just money. The reason is, say, because processability, we talk about simplicity, storytelling, and visual balance. Once you apply this technique, it means that your model is simple to maintain,
mm-hmm.
costs less money to maintain. it's also easier to learn. That means you spend less money to train people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing is simple, easy to use. That means people will have less resistance. They will start using it. So that means you get success. You get more value. And also because the model is simple, that means people can use it to communicate well. Then they will make the best possible decision with the information that present in the model.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end, it's so much benefit. It's the value and the cost is so much. And this is super, super crucial because simplicity, processivity is because if you did not do it well, everything will snowball out, become a problem. I'll give you an example. If you are building a house, processivity actually is about that little brick,
mm-hmm.
1 brick. So we need to know the right technique to build a 1 brick, then a lot of problem can be solved. If your brick doesn't do it well, you end up, maybe your house is even crooked, no matter how, because every brick combines become small problem, become a bigger problem, become a biggest problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, definitely makes sense. Cool. So if I'm now convinced, I would say that's definitely something I have to take into account when mapping process. But what are the prerequisites to apply your approach? Do I have to use a special notation or can I just apply it to whatever I'm using right now? What would you recommend?
Then? Just do whatever you're right now, whatever modeling notation you're using. You just need to apply these three concepts into your modeling notation. It will work.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's super interesting. I think we should think about sharing more specific examples with the community. Maybe we can record a video later on showing how visually or a processability process model looks like, something like that.
Yes. Yes, I think I can. I can show you how the visual balance can be done because visual balance is the easiest skill that anyone can just adapt it and learn it. It's very easy mm-hmm. to learn. In fact, just now you're asking me a question, say, what is the prerequisite of processability? Now I think of it is that the prerequisite of a processability for a process modeler, the one-on-one mm-hmm. modeler, is take away your ego.
Okay.
Take away your ego that is the prerequisite of processability. Because I want to tell the audience is that process model is a different knowledge compared to other things. Because mm-hmm. process model is visible. The model is present to you, they cannot hide anything. So take away our ego. When we look at the model, if there's something good, learn from it. It's a good skill, a good technique, learn from it. If you realize mm-hmm. I have make some, oh, this model can do something, represent something simpler, easier compared to the way I do it. Just learn it. It's an open book. So the only thing stop us is our ego that stop us from learning and become better.
Mm-hmm.
So I have seen people has modeling like 10 years, 20 years. They are not getting better because they're just too proud to learn.
Okay. And I would add to that or ask a question. I'm not sure if that's a remark or a question. Let's see how this will end. But we made a lot of fun about in the past was when looking at different process models, often we could say who was the modeler of that picture. So, yeah, okay, you can look at the process owner and know that or something like that or the content. But independent from who's the owner and what is the content, just by looking at the picture, so how the process is mapped, where the roles are and how the activities are aligned, how the arrows are between the activities and so on. So I think there has always been kind of ego of the modelers in the picture. Or would you agree to that? Or is it in the end the goal to take out this individual touch out of the model? Or
no, I would say it's the ego. I would say that, as you say, that when we look at the model, we can know the style of that process modeler yet. I think sometimes it's okay to have your own style a little bit. It's for fun.
Yeah.
Just modeling, right? As long as it doesn't have impact, negative impact, don't I think it's okay. Sometimes you want to have fun in the model. It's cool. So you have to think.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. It's not about ego, just have fun and get the things done. But I disagree that actually, by looking at the model, you can tell. I won't say disagree. I want to tell you what this is, what really happened. So a few years ago, I was mentoring another process modeler.
Yeah.
So at that time, I just coaching her. This is how to do the modeling. He gave me this problem. I say, this is how we do it. Blah, 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 blah. No processability yet because it's, I haven't consolidated the idea. Yes. So yeah. After a while, guess what? I think about 6 months later. So someone gave me this model. I look at it. I thought, oh, maybe that is my model from first look because 6 months is true. But when I look in detail, look at the name, I say, no, I have never been assigned to do this part of word of, so this is not my model. So this is like someone have done something very similar to the way I do it. So actually, this is the person that I have coached her.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's cool.
That's, even myself will take, for the first 5 seconds, I thought it's mine, but when I look deeper, oh, no, that's not mine because there are still some thing that I will start doing slightly differently. But from the first look, it's actually the same.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to say is that with processability, actually, your model to the ordinary people, the business, they will say that actually this is from one person. This is so easy to understand. But yet, individual model, you still have your own creativity. You still have fun because you just add your little bit of your style, your signature into the model.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. And I have, after this recording, I have a process mapping session. I try to bring that in. That's super cool. Perfect. Okay, I think we definitely have to share a video on how this looks like later on. But, you know, I'm talking a lot about human centricity. So pushing BPM into a direction where people get excited about processes. And I think processability definitely contributes to that. But what would be your three top recommendations to rethink processes to get to a more human-centric approach to inspire people for processes based on your experience?
I would say the top three, I would say that we need to know the purpose. In fact, not top three, I think just one. Just one. As a process modeler, we must know what is the purpose of modeling. Yeah, I'm not talking about what is the purpose of this model A or model B. This is for the order to cash, or this is called recruitment, whatever process. I'm talking what is the purpose of modeling. Mm-hmm. We must know. The purpose of the modeling can be different, depend on what, but I would say that for now, 90% of the time, the purpose of process modeling is communication. It's for the communication between different stakeholders so they can understand a problem, maybe, or maybe know what is happening, so they can know the perspective of different role within the process so they can understand each other in a very short time. So that's why the purpose of modeling is communication. Once we know that this is the purpose is communication, then the rest is easier, mm-hmm. right? What is important for communication? So it's just say, you are, English is not my first language. I think English is also not your first language, McCall, yeah? But we
correct.
Still communicate. So yeah. Purpose is communication, right? We have gesture, we communicate. So we don't bother about, I say, the past tense or future tense is wrong, whatever. That is bullshit, right? It's about communication because now we communicate to save the world. There's something is crashing now. We try to communicate. So don't talk about the right grammar. We just need to communicate. We work out a plan. We solve the problem. Done.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. That's great. I love that. Thank you for this top recommendation there. So where can our listeners learn more about your activities, about processability? Where should they go to?
I will strongly recommend them to follow my LinkedIn post and give direct message me because I have just launched my processability program. It's a mm-hmm. 5 weeks program where I will give a business scenario to the participant. Then the participant can model it. Then I will give them a personalized feedback on how to use processability to improve the readability, to make your model easy to understand by everyone, so everyone will fall in love with you.
Yeah, that's cool. I was just thinking about handing over a number of process models I created to just get your feedback on that, to learn what I can improve there. So that would be also part of this workshop series. Could the participants also hand in process they already have, or are you just handing over a given case and then they have to map that?
So what I did is that the program starts with the business scenario that I have designed for them. So from there, yeah, they can learn different aspects of the modeling. So yeah, okay, after you have finished these 5 weeks, then on top of that, I will give 2 one-on-one coaching where we can actually explore to any modeling question that we can explore in detail. The reason is
that's
that
super cool.
From my experience when I talk to, when I coach and mentoring different models, they all have different areas that need improvement.
Mm-hmm.
They all have different areas to need improvement. So me as a coach, as a mentor, I have to help them to address the most important area first. So everyone mm-hmm. is different when come to the one-on-one coaching. Everyone is different because I could not overwhelm them with too many things they need to improve. So I need to pick the right one so then guide them, lead them to the highest standard that I want mm-hmm. to go to. So everyone is different.
Cool. Let's see. Maybe I'm going to participate in that as well. That's super interesting. And I love to get feedback on my modeling skills. That's great. Cool. The question I'm always asking at the end is, do you have a recommendation for another expert method tool we should have a closer look onto to get ideas on how to rethink processes? So would you recommend something there for me to look into?
I wouldn't recommend any person. I would say that I will encourage the reader to actually get as much exposure you can. See how, try to look at different people more, not just Kevin, look at Mirko, look at anyone out there, just to absorb. Because anyone out there, they have something that good that you can actually learn from.
Mm-hmm.
So just go to anyone, but don't just stick to one person. That's why I say don't stick to one person.
Yeah.
Develop, try to get as much exposure as possible.
Okay, that's cool. Perfect. So before we land the aircraft, or before we leave the aircraft, because we already smoothly landed, yeah, is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners?
I would say that if you are a process modeler out there, be it a BA or be it a process analyst, where you need to use process modeling as one to get your job done, I would say that learn, because process modeling is the easiest skill to learn compared to other skill.
Mm-hmm.
So don't just do it and not try to learn. So you can actually improve it in a very short time frame compared to other skills such as, say, communication skill, presentation skill, stakeholder management. That is much more difficult to learn. But process modeling is the easiest skill to learn, but people just do not want to learn it. I just do not understand. Because once you learn it, it's going to help you to even better to communicate mm-hmm. with your stakeholder.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Put some love into it. So because people can tell if you have this model with all the line crossing left and right, it's just like...
Yeah, I love that. Put some love into it. That's super cool. Okay. Wow, that was inspiring. Maybe we can provide a video afterwards as well, so we can deep dive a little bit more with some images. But for the podcast itself, how would you describe your flight experience here in the podcast episode with just 3 words?
Just 3 words. I would say that it's very real. Mirko, when I talk to you, I think we are quite like talk about process model. I think it's very spontaneous. Is it?
Yeah.
A bit of random. So I think, yeah. So it's cool. I really thank you so much, actually, Mirko. You have this podcast, so more people can get to know process, know more people in this case can know about process modeling.
Yeah, very good. Kevin, super cool that you were my guest here. And we definitely stay in touch because I love what you're doing and I have to learn more about that. So thank you so much for being my guest. Have a great day, Kevin. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Let's recap today's new process inspiration.
Wow, that was a lot of fun. If you didn't know it before, it should be clear now that I'm a real process modeling nerd. So I love the art of process modeling. And I don't know how many process modelers I have trained over the last 20 years, but I wish I had known the concept of processability earlier. Would have been great for all the trainings. I love its three elements: storytelling, visual balance, and simplicity. In all the trainings, I was always fighting for aesthetic minimum requirements, which goes a lot into the direction of visual balance. And I really enjoyed the conversation with Kevin. And we continued our conversation after the recording and spontaneously decided to record a video with two visual balance showcases. So you just have to view these videos to understand more about processability. To do so, simply go to newprocesslab.com/Kevin. And then you will find the videos there. And yeah, just don't miss it. It's super interesting and it will definitely improve your process modeling. As an outlook to the next episode, I'm still producing just in time, but if everything works out as it is planned right now, there is something really big coming up. So stay tuned for that. But for now, thank you very much for listening today. Don't miss the video by following newprocesslab.com/Kevin. Thank you very much. Bye-bye and auf Wiedersehen.
You've been listening to the New Process Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode for more tools, methods, and best practices to rethink your process and push it to the next level. Thank you for listening.
Before you leave, as you might know, I'm doing a lot of research on how to rethink process and how to get people excited about processes. If you would like to find out more about how to rethink your own process, you can download my free new process checklist, which provides a lot of impulses on how to push your process to the next level. To download it, simply go to newprocesslab.com/checklist. So check it out. Have a great day. Bye-bye.